James has a special clip on his bicycle that can attach to his mom's bike or my bike, and then we can pull this whole bike. A lot of days last year we came home by the canoe, which was fun. Eh?
Welcome to Radio Free School.
And what do you like about your street?
I have friends.
Can you tell me how Governor's Road looks like on a regular day? What's going on here?
There's lots of cars passing by.
Do you sleep with your window closed?
Sometimes. I love the noise.
And what's your favourite way of getting around?
I like all ways of getting around.
Mm-hmm. So you don't really have a favourite?
No, I don't.
Mm-hmm. Would you like to get a car? Your parents will get a car?
No.
Does it bother you that we don't have a car?
No. I like biking.
You get tired?
Sometimes.
I'm Randy Kay. I'm a volunteer with Transportation for Livable Communities. We have a lot of people with cars. There's over 2 million cars on the highways in this region every day. But at the same time, during rush hour, the GO trains carry 4 times as many people. So while there's a traffic jam of all these cars, there's people moving efficiently on a sustainable transport network that exists that needs to be expanded. But we sunk so much money and effort into building more lanes for more cars that we're going to have this problem for a while. Maybe with rising gas prices, I think maybe some people will rethink their driving habits and their living choices and stuff, but that sort of remains to be seen. You know, any change needs to be a bit of a mix of incentives and disincentives. I mean, incentives to have better, safer places to get around without a car, better linked networks of trails and pathways and bike lanes and routes, better transit so that you don't have to wait for an hour in the freezing cold, you know, for the next bus if you miss it. Just to sort of put a leg up for alternative sustainable transportation. Part of the challenge is to get people thinking that they don't need the car so much. I had to go through this thing myself where I think this is a car destination. I can't get there without a car. And then I realized after years of, you know, not having a car that, you know what, it's not that far away after all, really. If you get on your bike and you figure out the safe ways to get there, and you can get the distances that we're ready and willing to walk have shrunk over the years because of the car. So you'll see that in parking lots around malls, you know, people cruising around trying to find a choice parking spot, afraid to walk. It's like a minute walk or something further. It's a mental addiction to cars, and then in the sort of foggy notion that you need a car to get everywhere, combined with an infrastructure that is overwhelmingly in favor of the car. It's not nice to walk or ride on lots of roads or near lots of roads because it's so noisy and polluted and dangerous. It's all these different things. It's a whole cultural milieu that you have to change, that people have to start thinking differently and acting differently. So, you know, now the people are crying because of the gas prices going up on for their cars. And instead of looking at all options, they're trying to find a way of getting a tax break. Well, that tax money, you know, should be going from the gas prices that we're paying now, which are just now starting to get in line with what Europe's been paying for decades. Those gas taxes should not be going back to the consumer who's driving around and wants to continue driving around in their car. That should be going to transit, to, you know, cycling and infrastructure to support alternatives, right? More trains, more tracks, more service, right? And I think that's a common sense approach to getting out of the mess that we're in. I think what TLC does is not directly, we don't directly go out and sort of teach people how to do it all. Like there are different programs for that, the CAN bike program. I think, you know, if anyone is going to be riding a bike on the roads, which you'd like to see, then they should know the rules of the road and obey them, right?
Kids too.
Kids can take a course, a CAN bike course that you can set up, and they can learn the rules of the road. Or their parents can teach them if they want to do it that way, right? But they should learn to respect and know the rules of the road, because if you know the rules of the road, you can ride more safely with traffic. But what TLC is doing is we're not addressing it directly in a head-on way necessarily, but we're changing the culture so that people will, A, maybe consider taking their bike out, and then B, think, well, where the hell am I going to go? And then look, you know, and agitate with us or on their own to get their city councilor to put in a bike lane or improve the path there, or to do some traffic calming. So anyway, we're just seeing right now some gains as far as infrastructure for, say, cycling in Hamilton. We've got the city's finally starting to implement their bike rack program. With kids going to school, like the people at G.R. Allen are doing a very good thing, because, you know, it's not up to, I mean, my personal thing is it's not up to one group to go around solving everybody's issues. Mm-hmm. It's a big city and there's a lot of people in it. Those people should take on their local issues in a way, like the parents at J.R. Allen did and the students there have, and say, look, we're going to start a walking school bus program. We're going to, you know, we want the bike racks for the kids to park their bikes. There was nothing there. And a lot of the schools, you'll find, like, they, if they have bike racks at all, they have those old-fashioned ones from 1940 or something. You know, I think it's up to everybody to sort of take the initiative and do what you can where you are. And then that way, you know, don't wait for one group to come along and sort of solve your issue for you, because, you know, it's not very likely. The thing is about traffic, every day you're reading the paper and they're talking about some fatal car accident, some horrible accident. Like every part of the North America and all around the world has this, it's like a daily occurrence. It's like a major problem that we have. At the same time, we shouldn't let fear dictate all our choices when it comes to, like, getting around. Slowing down traffic does, you know, you can put in, like, you know, the city, you could agitate for the city to put in some kind of traffic calming measure. And there's lots of different infrastructural things that they can do, curb bump outs, you know, raised medians, blah blah blah. That's part of it too, but, you know, that gets into money and you have to agitate, and it takes years probably, and then it costs a fortune to sort of put these things in place. They do that. There's other ways which are maybe don't seem directly related, but one of the fun things that you can do is in your own community is you can reclaim your streets, as some people, David Engwich has written about books about that, and Car Free Day, stuff like that, encourages people to do that. It's basically calm traffic in your neighborhood by going out on the streets. Change the dynamic where it's the car is a visitor and you're not a visitor on your own street. So you go out in front of your house and set up a hockey net. Now, it's illegal in Hamilton, this city, to actually play road hockey on a residential street. In theory, supposed to apply for a permit, pay $400, and get liability insurance or something to play road hockey, right? So, I mean, I've been a lawbreaker since I was a little kid, I guess, because we never did that. And I don't think you should ever apply for a road hockey permit. That's just given over to the car culture in a way that, you know, that it should be flipped right around. And cars should be, like, apologizing and going very slowly as they interrupt your street, right? Like, here we're sitting on a major street on the, like, whatever the... We've had over 40 days of smog days this year, and we have another one today. And so, like, we're talking not smog, it's like some kind of cuddly thing. It's poison air, and it's cars are contributing to that. Now, it's not the sole cause of bad air, but it's a major contributor.
My name is Evelina Kay, and I'm going to talk about our trip to Christie. On our bikes, by the way. Well, we decided to go out, then it was mostly uphill, because to get up there, it's all uphill. But most of it was pretty easy on the way back. It's just hard on the way there, which is pretty good advantage. We didn't know that you could get there by bike, and it was Daddy's idea, because we knew some ways. Me and Daddy found them by ourselves. Found some great ways to get around in Greensville when we went to get some seeds. Like an hour and a half, I think. It's not too long.
Would you do it again?
Yes.
What's your favorite way of getting around?
Well, I don't know. Like, there's a lot of ways. I like car when I'm really tired, and I like bike when I'm energetic, and I like walking when I'm energetic, and Sometimes you want a car when you're energetic too. It just depends. I guess train, maybe. I think I like train the most. Got a mountain bike.
Do you know how to fix it? Take care of it?
I'm pretty good at that. The gears are a little wonky right now. I like Car Free Day. It's an international day for cars to be shut out. So, like, we block off a road and we have a party there. So we do stuff like that. Get a nice big party, get all comfy, have some fun, and get to invite friends pretty soon. It's in September, I believe.
Why don't we do it in the road?
Day. Be nice to your bike.
I love your loving ways when you hold my
International Car Free Day, September 22nd. Make me understand that I'm the
only one. Roll call! Come along now, you'll be late for parade! Rip, rip! Rip, car! Rip,
You are listening to Radio Facebook on CFMU.
Lauren Kretel, I'm from Montreal, and I live in Hamilton. We were living in Toronto, and Jane got a job in Hamilton, and she needed a car, and she needed her car for her job, visiting daycares and families for speech therapy. And then now she has a new job, she doesn't need her car, and she rides her bike to work. So now we don't really need a car, but we have a car. The convenience thing and all that thing with the kids. Maybe this is where I should talk about just the safety issues of having a car and how infrastructure is built for the car. And when you have kids, you're thinking of safety issues. Being a pedestrian or on your bike with your kids, you just don't, you feel like you're not a target, but there's a lot more room for error in the car world. When thinking of safety issues with kids and moving them around, it's safer to be in a car and be part of the whole car culture. I think I've always been less car dependent, and living in Hamilton, it's made it really difficult to be less car dependent just because everything's so much centered around moving cars around and less attention to people getting around by walking. Bigger cities like Montreal, where I'm from, and Toronto, there is a car culture there as well, but there's a lot more focus put on, you know, pedestrians and making things more safer for pedestrians and cyclists. So. You know, I bike a lot, yeah. And it's funny because I use the trailer and Ivan rides his bike. And the comments, Ivan grew up in the trailer. And I don't know, trailers have been around for like 20 years. And in Hamilton, it's like, I still get people like wide-eyed saying, wow, what a great idea. You know, it's like, it's as if they'd seen something that's, you know, just been invented. But anyways, so yeah, and it's not safe. I feel really, really afraid out there. You know, I'm responsible for making choices for my children right now. I'm putting them in dangerous situations, I think, more than I would have to if I, you know, had a SUV, you know, or a a military vehicle, like the Humvee.
But you're obviously, despite those fears, something's making you feel that you want to keep doing that. So maybe.
Yeah. Well, no. There's a freedom you have when you're on your bicycle or you're walking. No, that's my first preference, as I had when I was living in Montreal and Toronto. I had a car in Toronto. I had my mother's car that was given to me, and I parked it because it's just. What's the point in a city that has great transit? We lived in a great neighborhood. The neighborhood was, you know, you had everything in your neighborhood. Like, that's why we've made the choice of living where we do in Hamilton, because our neighborhood is so walking friendly and there's lots of things close by. And
do you think that you're being less car dependent, being an example to other people? Do you think people are being influenced by your
choices? Oh yeah, oh yeah. Whenever you're out there, you're especially. Being a pedestrian or a cycler, I notice when I drive around town, you see the people walking and biking a lot more than you see other people in cars. And so definitely you are an influence. I don't know if it's good or bad, because it seems like cars don't really like people walking and getting in their way, or cyclists, especially cyclists, it seems. I know Jane at work, she's been riding her bike to work, and one of the people she works with said, oh, I'm going to try cycling to work too. This is great. This looks like it's definitely possible. People don't realize like the options there, and so when they see other people doing it, yeah, for sure. But I mean, when you're out there in the world, you're kind of on stage all the time, and you're always performing. All depends on the choices you make and the performances you want to be involved with. So yeah, definitely, we're all playing a role out there. So yeah, I try to have a happy face on my bike.
I'm loving this.
Or sometimes I'm like, oh God, what am I gonna do at Dundurn and King? You know, how am I gonna get across? I'm really stressed out trying to cross the street, because that's in our neighborhood. So kids love the trailer, and kids love biking. Every day, like, he would go get his bike helmet, Anton. Let's go on the trailer. Just loves it. And I found routes around how to get around Hamilton that are safe downtown and in our area. Some really great places to bike and get around. And no, it's in terms of parking and just enjoying where you live, it's a lot better.
Talk about critical mass. You know, like, you're part of that, right? Can I just talk a little bit about what that is?
Okay. It's just a chance for, as a cyclist, to get in a group of people and feel safe cycling in the city, and to show other people like it's okay to bicycle. And yeah, Ivan came on a critical mass in the trailer. I think it was Car Free Day, because there was a lot more people, and I think it was a time where there wasn't a lot of cars on the road. So and then Jane was with me, so there was kind of like buffer zone of two bikes. But I don't know, there's a certain point where, I mean, in this video still we ride in New York, where the police are wanting to shut down critical mass, and it's happening in Hamilton too, because the police get quite upset as well when they see a lot of people infringing on the rights of cars. And so what's coming down to in New York is that they're saying, you know, are we actually allowed to ride bikes? Is this, you know, what you're doing here is not saying that, you know, by arresting all these people, saying that you don't have a right. Bikes don't have the same rights as people who drive their cars.
But will you continue though, trying to reduce the car use and just
Definitely. Yeah. It's part of where, you know, when thinking about a place to live, that's a big part of it, the transportation issue. How much we'll have to use our car. And we're looking at Ottawa because they have a lot of bike trails and places where we can ride our bikes safely and a good transit system. And they're actually closing down roads at certain times during Sundays. We're not going to have enough money to pay for our cars soon. We're running out of oil, and Hamilton's building this huge highway and thinking about building more highways, and they've got the whole city set up for cars. And I know there's some positive things going on, but it just seems like the mass, like in a lot of places, wants to continue this car culture.
How did you guys get here?
Well,
we walked. Do you have a car?
No.
You want a car?
No! I want horses.
Yeah.
I wish they'd have more farms in Dundas.
So, but sometimes, right? Don't you appreciate a car ride?
Oh, yes.
And do you feel that you want to have your own one sometimes?
I never feel like I want my own. So, I wish they'd have these fake cars that are actually
battery cars.
There are such a thing in
I know, I know. But these battery cars, but they can't. They're not allowed on the road, and these kids could drive them around the park.
But they, you should bring your own. I mean, you can buy them. There's those things.
Why wouldn't you just use a bike?
No, just a little car for kids.
Oh, I see.
Just fun. For kids who just drive around for fun, learn how to drive.
Learn their driving, learn how bad their driving skills are. That's why you have to get your own.
So what's your favorite way of getting around? Bus, bike, walking?
Bike.
Bike.
I don't have a
I love swimming.
I don't have a fit. So your favorite?
Yeah, that's fun. That's like
I don't like canoe very much.
I like it.
Because you know why?
I've been skiing even better than
bike. A lot of work.
That's what I like.
When there's too many people in it. Canoe?
Yeah.
I'm David Collier, and I live here in Hamilton. This is James here. Say hi, James.
Hi.
He goes to G.R. Allen School, right? What grade are you going to be in this year?
Grade 1.
Hamilton, they don't take the kids to school. The French immersion kids have to find their own way. Doesn't seem kind of fair, because if you live far away from school, you can't do the French immersion project. And so they said, well, you got to get your kid to school on your own. That was a bit of a drag, but then we kind of turned it into a positive thing by biking. James has a special clip on his bicycle that can attach to his mom's bike or my bike, and then we can pull his whole bike to school. A lot of days last year we came home by the canoe, which was fun, right?
When you go in the canoe, James, can you just tell me a bit, how is it? Is it fun to go get picked up by daddy?
Yeah. It's different because a canoe is bigger than a bike and it's on the water. I sometimes get wet, but it's not cold.
What do you see when you're on that canoe?
Turtles sometimes. Seagulls.
Yeah, I like the turtles. We saw lots of those turtles. They just kind of like sunning themselves in the logs. We've been out to Rat Island and we saw a big snake out there in Coots Paradise. We saw that snake a few times. Was it a striped snake? Was it? It looked like tiger stripes on it or something. That was huge.
It was a garter snake, I think.
We stopped and camped a little bit too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and that's I think when you learned how to read at age 5, which is pretty good. Because like, there's nothing else to do, and I'd always have comic books for them. So.
And I have a million comic books at home. Mom says that I have a million.
Usually Jen would take them to school on the bike, and then I'd come in the canoe and pick them up. I'd just pick them up, and then sometimes we'd just stop and go to Rat Island or something and hang out there and come home for supper, you know. So even though he was in half the day, we'd hang out most of the day. And James would put up with me while I did my work. It is hard, and a lot of days you just think, oh, I don't want to do it. But Jen always comes back really energized and stuff, you know, after, you know, getting out there at 8:15 and pushing the bike, getting there really fast. And I just kept my car for the last 10 years because I use it for work to get out of the city. Because I do artwork, and I had a gig with a newspaper, and I had to go across Western Canada and draw. When I lived in Saskatoon, before I moved here, I'd just make a rule to use it like once a week for groceries or something. So we'd use the car like once a week to get groceries and also take James to school, but that's about it.
What are your reasons for not wanting to?
Well, I'm cheap, and I read somewhere that it costs $10 every time you even move a car like 2 feet, you know, just in all the depreciation and everything and maintenance. And also, I think everybody's going to have to learn how to stop using cars pretty soon, because the world's running out of oil, I think. And also, I'm kind of eccentric, and I just like to play these little games with myself, and this is one of them. Like, let's see how I can arrange it to use the car as little as possible.
So James, what's your favorite way of getting around?
The car.
Well, because I don't have to paddle. I don't have to paddle in the canoe, and I don't have to pedal on the bike.
We used to live out in the country, and people would be so concerned about us because we've always not gotten around with the car much. So before we moved to Hamilton, actually, after we lived in Saskatoon, we lived near Algonquin Park. And James, when he was 1 year old, he used to ride around in a sled, and we'd pull him behind our cross-country skis, and other people would always be pulling up in their cars and say, can we give you a lift? I guess it was cold, but we had him bundled up pretty good. And I'd have like a kind of belt, you know, two ropes about 6 feet long, attaching to the sled and pull him that way.
And when Lard was alive, he used to put that belt thing on and pull the sled.
Well, we had a great dog. His name was Large, and he'd pull James, yeah.
But he's dead now.
You know, before James was born, I was reading all these baby books, and I came across a passage in Dr. Spock said, like, all people should be outside for at least 4 hours a day, you know, and a lot of days, like, you're doing the transportation thing, and it seems like a drag, but it's, like, time outside, you know, and that's important, that's really good. Especially in Canada, where I read somewhere that Canadians spend 90% of their time inside. We're lucky we have this trail, we take that. We took them to Aberdeen and Dundurn every day from the North End. Some people were upset too about that, like Jen's aunt, and make sure he has a good helmet. And we did, he always had a good helmet. People were pretty considerate, and I'm not shy about like pushing my weight around on the bike, like taking up a lane if I feel like I don't feel safe, and going on the sidewalk, you know? Because if you have a kid, I don't care, any policeman's not gonna say get off the sidewalk.
About winter traveling, like how do you manage that?
They plow this trail like better than the sidewalks, right? And we have like fenders on our bikes, you know, it's important to have fenders on James's extended bike too, also on his bicycle. We have two different kinds of ways of trailering behind our bikes. One is like the extended bike, which is just like one wheel, and we put a fender on that and a fender on the adult's bike so they don't get salt and spray. And the other way is hooking his entire bike up to our bike. We had to order the parts special. I'm not sure if it's still very well known in Hamilton, because that gives him the freedom of like riding his own bike or being pulled by our bike.
Do you find that you guys influence other people? Just from your lifestyle?
No, I don't think. But we do. Like we ride our bikes to the Thai Cats games and stuff, like the extended bike, and you're going through East Hamilton and people go, hey, look at that. Wow. You know? Hey, and everybody's out in their porch and Balsam Avenue, like pointing at you. And like, I guess it's like showing people that haven't seen this before. Maybe. Yeah. I guess I see more people biking with their kids. Canada's had this free ride. We got back from Iceland. We were there. They had an exhibition of my work with all these different cartoonists. And they mostly had Scandinavian cartoonists. And they did have a couple of Canadians. And they asked me, and James and Jen and I went there. And it was just like another world, because it was in March and it was really cold. It was minus 10. But people like had their doors open, all the stores had their doors open, they had like single pane glass, and there's like all these outdoor swimming pools, you know, and they get all their heat from like the hot water under the rocks, right? And there's radiators everywhere pumping out this, you know, hot water. Radiators like at the entrances to buildings, radiators everywhere. And it's just amazing. And Canada, I guess we've been kind of slack. We think all this natural gas, cheap way of heating, and my wife's grandfather was one of the engineers behind the pipelines that brought all this natural gas. Because like when I was a kid, I can remember like the oil truck coming and all the houses got their oil tanks filled up. And also when I was a kid, you could still see remnants of the coal bins in the basements and stuff, and the coal trucks used to come around. So like we've gone from coal to oil to natural gas, but after the gas goes, I don't know.
Dad, what were those big birds?
Cranes?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's that one crane every day would lead us the way out of the Westdale Inlet where we'd go in with our canoe, and it'd always be waiting there in the Westdale Inlet, and it'd kind of fly ahead of us until we got out of there, huh? I wonder if it was trying to show us how to get home.
Mm-hmm. Next time we should try to follow it.
Yeah.
Let's see where it goes.
Yeah.
The end.
I'm gonna wrap myself in paper. I'm gonna daub myself with glue. Stick some stamps on the top of my head. I'm gonna mail myself to you.
Contact Radio Free School at grassroots@hwcn.org or mail P.O. Box 19, 1280 Main Street West, Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, L8S1CO.